In Unforgivable, Andre Tachanet's latest film, Carol Bouquet plays Judith, a gorgeous real estate broker based in Venice, Italy, who unconsciously seduces almost everyone she encounters, whether they're male or female, old or young. Although the French actress and model has appeared in more than 40 films during her career and is a major star in Europe, she's probably best known to American audiences for her role as Melina Havelock, the Bond girl in For Your Eyes Only. Unforgivable opens today, and I'm very pleased that it brings Carol Bouquet to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
American audiences will also remember you as the face of Chanel No. 5 from the ads that were aired here during the 80s and 90s. Did you start your career as a model or an actress?
No, not at all. The ads came 10 years after I was an actress. I started at the National School of Theatre when I was 18. Got the idea of maybe becoming an actress when I got into the school. And then I did a test for the Luis Buñuel movie, That Obscure Object of Desire. And then,
so that was your first film?
That was my first
you
movie.
You started at the top.
Yeah, and that happened just after I got into the school. So I didn't have really the time to think I was becoming an actress. When I said I would love to do it, I became one. So that's changed my life completely. That was an enormous step I was extremely lucky. At the same time, it was extremely frightening because, I mean, it's like jumping a cliff, you know, and you're super with no parachutes, you know, with no airbags.
Was Buñuel a supportive director or just simply say, do what you have to do?
He was very supportive, but he couldn't, I mean, do what you had to do. Very supportive in life, but not, I mean... But that was a very good, you know, I mean, that was the best way of learning, really, because he couldn't care less about psychology at all. So if you would ask him a question, but I didn't dare, but my co-actress did, because she had done movies before, and he was playing with his machine and was not even faking, you know, hearing the questions. He was just walk away. But he was very precise with objects, the way you should stand, the way you should, you know, behave. But the psychology, you know, he couldn't care less.
Well, it's interesting that you were in a Buñuel film. Catherine Deneuve was in a couple of Buñuel films. The both of you were the face of Chanel No. 5 at one point or another. And she's done a number of films directed by Andre Tachanet. And now you're in this one. Is this your first Tachanet?
Yeah, it is my first.
He's probably right now the foremost film director in France. But he chose to make this film in Venice from a book that was set in the Basque Country.
Yes. Besides his love for Venice, it's not to that point that he dared, you know, really to move a script from, you know, and have the cost, by the way, because it is very expensive to shoot in Venice.
It would have been cheaper in the Basque Country.
A lot. But everybody forgives that Venice is an island, which is extremely important. Besides the beauty in Venice and the fact that, yes, you do have the paradox of the island, which has a very slow pace, very slow rhythm because it is an island, and the fact that you have those masses of people just coming from one day, you know, and like something very brutal, which is happens in Venice. So you have both things in that city, which makes it very peculiar.
Although it really, most of it takes place on an island outside of Venice, Santa Rosmo. And Judith, your character, uses a small motorboat to get back and forth to the island from her office. Had you spent much time driving a motorboat? Because you look like you really know what you're doing.
Yes, I loved it. And they were so scared because we had to learn. And I learned it in a few hours. I mean, that. And then I was supposed to have lessons every day. I said, come on. I mean, that's it. I know. I understood. But André Dussolier, the other actor in the movie, had to do it every day. I said, what are you doing it every day? That's boring. And he said, because I just can't do it. And so when I was supposed to drive, you know, especially when he was on my boat, he was so scared. And can you imagine, as you saw the first image, you have the enormous boat. So, yes, I'm laughing because of the scene, but I'm also laughing because
he's so nervous.
I look at his face and he's pretending he's nervous, but he's really nervous. And by the way, André Téchiné, who's on another boat, is extremely also nervous, thinking, is she going to make it? So I was playing with it because, I mean, of course, men thinks we can't drive. I'm not talking about boats, but even cars, you know, they're surprised women can drive cars.
Well, Frenchmen.
Frenchmen, not American. But Frenchmen, they're very surprised.
A lot of women driving in the United States. The waterways around Venice look much less crowded in the movie than I remember them being. Were you filming at odd hours? Or has it really gotten jammed
these
days?
No, it is like that. It is like that. The good thing about the awful thing that happened when they had that boat accident in Italy, a month ago, they're now passing a law that forbids, big boats to go close to the coast. That means those enormous boats who are dangerous for the city because it brings the level of water, and it's really damaging a lot.
It displaces water in a city that's already sinking.
Exactly, and that they're going to forbid, which is a miracle because everybody tried for years and years. It is crowded. It is very crowded. When you drive, you have boats all over the place. Yes, it is.
Well, many people complain about having to go on location to shoot a movie. I can't imagine shooting in Venice. It was a really bad thing for you. How long did you spend there?
It's one of the best memories that I have from movies. Besides the fact, working with a good director, a director that you love and admire, having a good script, being on the set, because sometimes from the first day on, you're on a train and the train goes in the wrong direction and you know it from the first day. So it might have been, a great artist, but sometimes he could make, wrong choice.
Yeah, even great directors have made bad movies.
Of course. But that from the first day, and I was happy from the first day on and I stayed 3 months in Venice. So it's one of the best memories of my entire life.
When the movie opens, your character, Judith, has just met Francis, a well-known crime fiction writer played by André Dussollier, who's one of the great French actors. Americans may not recognize the name, but if they see French films, they'll recognize him because he's been in so many good films. He comes to your office because he's looking to rent a house in a quiet area of Venice for a year so he can complete a book. And he takes her completely surprised when he asks her to move in with him while they're looking for a place. And then the film jumps to the following summer and the two of them are married. And we never question it. It didn't have to be explained.
No, it didn't have, because then if we try to give an explanation, of course she's not in love immediately. You can't be,
I game. I fell in love with you the first time I saw you.
Yes. Not him, but I think that's a game at the beginning. Then they fell in love. But, they're old enough to play games, and to know, by the way, the quality of those games, They're 50 and 60 when the movie comes in, when we start the movie. And the beauty of that movie, besides being in Venice, which is one of the characters of the movie, it's that somebody like André Téchiné, who's not a young man, he's not a teenager, he's almost 70 now, he's going to kill me if he hears me, says that love is possible. Yes, you do have turmoil. You do have dangers. Yes, you're going to hurt each other. Yes, but go on that train.
Well, one of the characters in the film says, I need to be unsettled. And this is a film about a group of, involving a group of interlocking stories about people who need to be unsettled. They seem to almost search it out. And in one case, Francis, your husband, he can't write when he's in love.
So I think nobody can.
He has a writer. He has
a feeling that nobody can.
Well, this is from a novel. Do you think that – what's the name of the novel? It's Gian. Does he write detective stories as well?
Yes, he does. But yes, he does, by the way, about human beings. About human behaviors, about sentiments. He writes thrillers about sentiments. But being unsettled, I'm not sure those characters are looking for it. It's just, it just happens. When you're 50 and 60, you do have a life, and life is not a quiet path. Or you're very protected because somebody is protecting you. But anyway, life is going to manifest itself. I just read the last beautiful book, at least the last that opened in France, from Joyce Carol Oates about, her being a widow. And talking about being protected, she was married 50 years, talking also about being in love. I mean, she was very protected by, obviously, her husband, that she could write.
Well, he also would come with her every time she came on the show to be interviewed.
You see?
He would accompany her.
Yeah. You see, I mean, she had somebody on her side, really, to... It's like building walls, you know, and protecting you, you know, from reality. And what she says, anyway, you know, life comes, you know, and the way she had to, you know, face... You know, that trauma after 50 years sharing the life, you know, with somebody and realizing she didn't know him the way she thought she knew him, because she never asked questions from the first day about the novel he was supposed to write, about, you know, did he finish it, what it was about, and they did have the time to speak 50 years. And that's us, you know, all of us, you know. We're that's why Unsettled, I'm not sure they're looking for it. It's our lives.
My guest is Carole Bouquet, who is starring in a new film, André Téchiné's latest film called Unforgivable. It opens today here in New York. And as I said, it was it's based on a novel by Philippe Djian, which was set in the Basque Coast. So did Téchiné change the story because he wanted to film in Venice, or and did he change much of the rest of the book? Did you read the novel before you started?
I read the novel. We are very far from the novel. That's inspired by the novel. He changed it because, yes, he needed Venice. He needed the light. He needed the rhythm, the pace. He needed an island. He needed the contrast of the beauty and the fact that you can hide in such, by the way, crowded place, and it could be a very private, and at the same time it is. I mean, all the paradox, which is in Venice. We are that exists in Venice. He used it, and no cities can do it better than Venice.
He says that he never knows how a film will end when he begins working on it. He's working from a novel here. Was it fluid?
Yeah, yes, yes. He doesn't even know how the scene is going to end.
And then
the
end of the movie is rather ambiguous. I'm not going to reveal what happens.
But that's true, because sometimes, for example, I mean, he does 40 takes. And sometimes
40 takes?
That could be. And sometimes, and I hate that, but I do it because I love him. So I said, God, you're going too far. But I mean, I will do it. But you have it already, whatever. But if you go and look at what he's doing, because he's looking like a painter, you know, like a tachism, really. And he's looking through his frames, the way he's going to shoot it. So sometimes it does take him a long time to find out how to tell, you know, the story. And sometimes it goes very quick. So sometimes it's one take, and sometimes it's 40 takes. The thing you have to understand is the more difficult it is, the quicker it's going to be. Hmm. When it's simple, he's going to give you an hard time. That's one of the clues working with him.
Your character speaks three languages during this movie, French, Italian, and English. Are you fluent in all three?
I'm not fluent in English, but I'm fluent in Italian.
You're not fluent in English?
No,
you do
I'm
pretty
not.
Well.
I make many mistakes. I almost do not in Italian, because I have a house in Sicily and I have a vineyard. So I better know what I'm talking about when I talk, you know, to the winemaker.
You have a wine called Sangue de Doro.
Yes.
Made from an island off of Sicily, Pantelleria.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been producing wine? This is one of the most famous dessert wines, one of the more expensive dessert wines. How long have you been doing that?
It's not that it's expensive. It's completely, totally handmade. You can't mechanize the process, and it's a very tiny amount. It's only 14,000 bottles. So the cost is exactly the cost that it costs me. I'm not making more money on it. I'm just making that place alive.
I wasn't accusing you of profiteering.
Dessert
wines are always expensive.
I mean, in a few years' time, profit will come. But for the moment, that's not where we are. Already, it's a miracle. We do exist. The whole thing came out of love of a land. I fell in love with Pantelleria 15 years ago. I've been in love with Italy. That's my biggest love in life. In fact, I'm faithful with Italy. That's the only thing I'm really faithful. Besides my kids, it's Italy since I'm 15. I love everything in Italy: the food, the people, the language, whatever. And Pantelleria, it's only 15 years, but I fell in love with the land, and because that land was abandoned, and I fixed it. And it took me years and years and years. There's no electricity. There's no water. You know, the whole idea is completely insane. And you would have told me a few years ago I would have been a winemaker. That I said, absolutely not. But that happened by just, I mean, through the years. And on that land, there was olive trees, capers, and vineyards. And finally, I went to sell the grapes. What kinds of grapes? Moscato of Alexandria. Yeah. And it's a dock. And then I thought, that's a shame. I went to somebody else to make the wine. And I was not happy with the result. And they said, mind your own business. And I said, what do you mean, mind my own business? First, you don't say that to women. We don't like that. And then I do mind my own business. You know, that's even worse than a movie. There's no way. You know, in a movie, I can blame the director if the movie is no good. If you drink a glass of my wine, of my land.
Your name is on the bottle.
Yes. And, you know, I have to love it. More than that. So I walked away and they said, but you can't do that. You don't know anything about making wine. I said, well, I will learn. And I love drinking. And I've been drinking for the last 20 years, so I will do it. And I built a cellar. So the beginning was a challenge. Then now, here I am in New York with my wine in the best restaurant in New York. So it's very peculiar.
In September, the French government designated you as a commander of the Order of Arts and Letters, a terrific honor. Do you know if it was for your work as an actress? You've been in 40 films. Mm-hmm. Or was it because you're a wine producer or a combination?
I accepted because they're very clever, because they're asking me many, many times to give me medals. I always said no. The woman who organized it said, well, if we get her on the day of the tribute to the French gastronomy in Brussels, you know, she might come. It's exactly what I did. I came because that was the day of the tribute to the French gastronomy, so that's why I came, yes.
Now, you've also won a number of awards. You won the César for Best Actress. The César is the equivalent of the Oscar. In 1989 for your role in Too Beautiful for You, a fabulous film. Also named the Best Actress in the Stockholm Film Festival in 2005 for a movie called Northeast. In the end, it turns out acting was where you should have been all along. Were you wasting your time doing the modeling, or was it so lucrative that you don't regret it at all?
No, I don't regret it at all, because to tell you the truth, it was a week in a year. So it's not like it was taking my time, you know. I was just doing the ad for a certain perfume, so that's all I had to do. Lucrative, as you said, that was. Gave me the enormous luck, chance, whatever, how do you call that, to do movies I didn't want to do. And be able to raise my kids the way I wanted and do it the way. But it's true that did take a big space in my life. I mean, it's if life is a jigsaw, I mean, it was one of the big pieces, and I had to then take the time to say, okay, there's something else, there's something more.
When people say they don't make movies the way they used to, well, you should go see Unforgivable, because this is one of those movies in the great French tradition by great filmmaker André Téchiné, starring wonderful actors André Dussollier, Melanie Thierry, Adriana Asti, and the very great Carole Bouquet. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.